we hope will be the last for this session. We have the agenda in front of us.
Is it recording now?
Okay, we have the agenda, and shall we agree to adopt the agenda as proposed? Adopted. Do we have any apologies?
Speaker, we have received the following apologies. Mr. Rolick will arrive late. Mr. Mare, Mr. Kutsia, and Mr. Mansoura. The chief of the NCOP, Mr. Mine, the deputy chairperson of the NCOP, Mr. Tau, Mr. Bloom, and Mr. Azosiwe. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Those are the apologies that have been tendered and they've been noted. Yes, Honourable Member.
Mrs. Kosana.
Mrs. Kosana will be added. Watton will be added.
The chief of the majority party.
Chief of the majority party will be added. Thank you very much. And then formally adopt the agenda, which is proposed, if there are no additions. Any movers and shakers? Moved, seconded, adopted. Thank you. We move on to agenda item number 3, which is consideration of the minutes of the meeting of the 5th of September. Okay, can we just start with the corrections? Page 1 for correctness. Are there any corrections on page 1? Page 2 for correctness. And page 3 for correctness. Okay. So we have the minutes in front of us. There are no corrections. Page 11. Okay, the minutes go up to page 11. One, page 2, page 3, page 4 for correctness, page 5 for correctness, page 6 for correctness, page 7 for correctness, page 8, page 9, page 10, and page 11. Okay, those are the minutes of the meeting of the 5th of September. We go up to page 11. There are no corrections. Are we happy to adopt the minutes as presented to us? Moved, seconded. Thank you very much. The minutes are adopted as a true reflection of the meeting that took place on the 5th of September. We then go into matters arising. Again, for sake of simplicity and ease, we start with page 1. Anything on page 1? Matters arising. Page 2, anything arising after page 2? Page 3, any matter arising? And page 4. Page 5, anything arising from page 5. Page 6, anything arising, which is not on the agenda. There might be something that arises but will be on the agenda. We'll deal with them when they come to the agenda. Page 7. Page 8. Page 8.8, that one is, I think, will come in the agenda. Page 9, 10, and 11. Matters arising. Okay. There are a number of things we want to look at. One of them is, as a matter arising, is the establishment of the budget office. It's not on the agenda. Okay, Mr. Frawley was going to report on this, but maybe let me do it on his behalf. This is very much work in progress. The budget office has been established, and there's been a report that was tabled at the POA meeting. Professor Chai himself gave a presentation about where we are with the budget office. We have also agreed that it will go to the various structures of parliament other than POA. It's free to, which committee has it been to?
Committees, finance and appropriations.
Okay, finance and appropriation committees listen to the budget progress report. We also suggested that it should, because of its importance, it should also go to the various caucuses that people can interact with the budget process in the caucuses. So that's still very much work in progress. We hope also to organize a workshop, something like an international workshop, to invite international participants from all over, plus South Africa, just look at the budget process. But what is important is that this is, I think, one of the very few budget offices in our continent. I think it's going to be the third, one of the very few in the world that has got a depth of our own budget office. It's wide-ranging. So we're quite happy with the progress that's being made, and we think it's an important tool for Parliament, an important instrument of oversight. So we will be putting it into the public domain through the various processes. It will also go to the Speaker's Forum. So we hope that by the end of this tour, we will be able to highlight the importance of the Budget Office. We will also engage with government, particularly with the Minister of the Department of Finance and Trade and Industry, various others that will impact on the budget. Of course, the Budget Office has got also implications for departments like the South African Revenue Services, which we have to oversee also as Parliament through the Budget Office. We will also give out handouts at some point when we're ready, just so that people can look at it and read the ledger about the role of the Budget Office. The other one is a report of the task team on the legislative process, reviewing the legislative process. Mr. Kwasana is not here, but is there somebody who can give us a report on this, a progress report?
Speaker, the workshop is now going to take place in February. The dates are 5, 6, 7, and 8. I understand that consultations are underway between the two houses to confirm the program. That is the information I have at this point on the matter.
Thank you. Any questions?
I didn't understand. 5, 6, 7, 8 February, is that not the date for training?
The workshop will happen during those days. It's the time set aside for training, and it will all be used for the workshop on the legislative process. Thank you.
Yes, honourable member.
Is this one workshop over 4 days, or the same workshop over 4 days to accommodate members?
Ms. Gouveia.
Thanks, Speaker. Just to remind members of the Chief's Forum, the presentation was done by Honorable Susanne at the Chief's Forum with program for all the days until Friday. That's the same workshop that we are talking about, Honorable Members. A document where it was highlighting all the issues that we need to deal with based on what we had presented to us. If we can go back to that document, we made some inputs as the Chief's Forum. On, I remember it was the last day specifically where we were a bit concerned. But as far as I remember, that was presented to us and we had agreed to it.
Honourable Watson.
Thank you, Speaker. There's one problem with that whole proposal, and one important aspect of it is that he's proposing that it should be compulsory for all members. Now, all members can't fit into the old assembly chamber for a workshop. So the venue will have to change if it's going to be a 3-day workshop compulsory for all members.
Honourable member.
I know the point made by Ms. Prabhai. Now, the program that was presented was a members training program with different components. My understanding is that Honorable Skosana was going to organize a one-day specific workshop only around legislation. That was scheduled, I think, on the 19th of October, and because that date could not be made, it was rescheduled. So, for clarity now, are we saying that the one-day proposal by the Chief Focus Forum for a Legislative Workshop is now incorporated into the members' training program which was handed out 2 weeks ago?
Honorable Kovai.
Thanks, Speaker. Yes, indeed. The program highlights all the issues and the legislative proposal. Legislative training is part of that document. And I said, if we can go back to that document, it's just that I don't have it. If we can go back, it's part of that training within the whole week.
Honorable,
but what about Mr. Watson's point? Where are we all going to sit?
Yes, the old assembly is too small for all of us to be there, but we do have the Good Hope Chamber that can accommodate all of us. No? Pardon? Mr. Van Arbeer?
It's also too small. Maybe we should sit in the National Assembly.
Okay, can we work those details out later, after this meeting? We agree that the old assembly chamber is small. We agree that all of us will be there. That's why it's small, because all of us will be present. So we'll have to find a venue that can accommodate all of us. Who do we ask to do this? Honorable Kubai, do you volunteer?
Mr. Skosana.
Honorable Skosana and Honorable Kubai will look for a venue in Parliament. Okay. Right, for those who have just joined us, we're on matters arising, but we've moved from matters arising. We're looking at the progress report on matters before the joint Chiefs Forum now. Ms. Kubai?
Thanks, Speaker.
But before you do, we'd like you to comment on the proposed operational guidelines for interim joint committee on scrutiny of delegated legislation. Can you start with that one? Thank you.
Speaker, for the first firstly, on the proposal guidelines for the interim joint committee for the scrutiny of delegated responsibility, we're supposed to have been discussed at the workshop, Speaker, that we are talking about currently now. That did not happen. Initially, we had planned that to happen within October, and that did not happen. And the workshop is rescheduled for next year. But because this matter is quite urgent, and waiting for the workshop, much delay, and there's some work that needs to happen, the recommendation, Speaker, is that the joint subcommittee on the review of rules, joint rules, drafted the rules establishing this committee, but and it drafted the rules. It's best suited to consider this, and therefore we are recommending that the guidelines be sent to this subcommittee for processing, as this committee is, as the committee is an interim structure. This guideline cannot yet be taken up in the rules.
Okay, so the proposal is that the guidelines be referred to the joint subcommittee on review of the joint rules for processing. Can I agree, or can we leave with that? Agreed to. Thank you very much. We also need a feedback on the issue that was raised by Mr. Froelich last time on the task team on public participation. Ms. Kessler? Ms. Kessler is right at the back. Can you give us a report back on that issue, public participation, progress report?
Thank you, Speaker. The task team, Speaker, as members will recall, decided that it would deal with the task before them in three focus areas. One, they would look at the constitutional landscape and reviewing the decisions of the Constitutional Court on what is considered to be the best practices of public participation for the legislature, parliament and the provincial legislatures. That work has been done. A report has been adopted. Then the second focus area was to search into the best practices of public participation, looking at what is being done currently in Parliament, in the provincial legislatures, and elsewhere. That work has not been completely finalized, but there are draft reports that have come through. There is also a questionnaire that is being dropped in members' pigeonholes to assist with inputs from the public during the constituency period, the period they are going to. There is also a campaign currently taking place throughout the country through Izimbizo by provincial legislatures to get inputs from the public on what the public would consider as the best ways of communicating with them or engaging with the legislatures. That's where the work is currently stated. The third focus area that I referred to, which is public mobilization and getting input from the public, is intended to be completed by end of February. And we still think that the date of the end of March is still realizable, but there's a lot of work still to take place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Keswa. That is the feedback on progress being made on passing on public participation. This is very much work in progress. Are there any questions, comments? No. Thank you very much. The report has been noted. We then go back to the agenda, and we are on 5A, which is draft attendance stroke leave policy for members of parliament. Honourable Kwai.
Thanks, Speaker. Just a feedback in terms of the work. This was referred to the Joint Chiefs Forum. Unfortunately, we've not been able to conclude the work. We had taken the attendance policy to various caucuses for input as members of the WIPA, and we are requesting that the matter be prioritized for early next year for the Joint Rules Committee.
Thank you very much. The proposal is that the matter should go to the Joint Chiefs Forum. It's work in progress. Any comments on attendance leave policy? Honourable Ambrosi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just wondering whether this matter really belongs to the rules or the rules and whether we should proceed in this direction. The choice of attending or not attending can be a tool of political actions, especially in respect of minority parties, boycotting sessions, walking out, not being there. It's part of the democratic tools covered by Section 57 to be of the Constitution, which the rules must protect. So I really wonder whether we should do any harder work on the basis of compelling members to be where they ought to be if they choose not to be for whatever reason.
Thank you very much. That exactly is a point. It can be a policy if you don't want to attend, and it's clear it's a risk within the rules, it's your right. But it can't be left open-ended. Parliament is an institution that operates around policies, but I'll leave it open. Mr. Jeffries.
Big thanks. I mean, I agree it can be a policy, but how does one distinguish between when you take a political decision not to attend and you just simply do not pitch up because you are doing other things that you shouldn't be doing for your taxpayer's salary? I would have thought that maybe the way to deal with it is provision that if there is a, if you want to do as Ambrosi Dr. Ambrosi is raising, that you're required to state that and the reasons. But these are some of the issues that can be looked at. But I think it clearly obviously requires further work.
Other issues that we will probably have to consider, Speaker, is just if we look at our parliamentary term and provision for constituency period, etc., at the very minimum period that is given for leave, if members want to apply for leave during another period, are we going to grant? Do we have a sort of a period that we have in mind, say, for instance, 10 or 15 days additional leave that could be granted, and how would it affect how do you really control it within constituency periods? And then secondly, also as far as sick leave. You know, I know it's difficult because we're not covered by, but somehow we have to build in something that is that would be regarded as reasonable, so that when you control it and you want to really, sanction those who are just taking, you know, sort of their work in Parliament for granted and come and go as they wish. You want to make sure that you have, on the one hand, better control, but on the other hand, also fairness. And we need also to consider those matters when we come back with recommendations. Thank you.
Honourable
Speaker, my colleague is discussing issues that we should discuss at the Chief of Forum.
Yes, we do need a forum to discuss. It can't be just left. You can't have a member of parliament being absent for the whole year, whether it's protesting or not protesting. There must be a reason, there must be guidelines on what is possible and permissible. So the proposal is that you should go to the Chief Whip's Forum. Do you agree with that proposal? Okay, the matter will be referred back to the Chief Whip's Forum. So it's joint Chief Whip's Forum. That was the last decision. Yes. Can we reconfirm the decision that we took last time? It goes back to the Chief Whip's Forum, doesn't come back here until they decide. Joint Whip's Forum. Okay. Thank you very much. We move on to 5.2 on the agenda. The use of speaking time by the houses in the joint debate. Will somebody just give a background to this issue? Ms. Kubai?
Thanks, Speaker. The decision of the last joint rules committee meeting was that the use of speaking time, whether time can be exchanged between the two houses. When a member of ANC is given time, can that member allocate his time to an NCOP member? Or can a member of NCOP given time give its member to its time to that member can she or he give the time to a member in the NA? And the discussions were at a point where some argue that it's within the rights of that member, others argue that you might end up diminishing another house. For example, you might end up with a debate in a joint sitting where no one from NCOP, for example, debates. Therefore, do you still call it a joint debate? There hasn't been any decision because that matter was referred again to the Joint Rules Forum for consideration, and that Joint Rules Forum needed to report back to this meeting, and unfortunately we have not yet concluded this because from our side as well as the NA, we still deal with global times specifically to the NA so that we can be able to say when we get into the discussion we have proper discussion with the other house after finalizing our own time. So we request in this matter to stand over, Speaker, for the following year and the first meeting.
Can we agree? Okay, agree too. Thank you very much. That's noted and agreed to. Can we then move on to agenda item number 6, consideration of the report of the Joint Standing Committee on Defense. Who wants to take us through?
Thanks, Speaker. The last meeting, the GRC, referred the matter of the proposed rule adjustment to the membership of the Joint Standing Committee on Defense to the Joint Subcommittee of the Review of Assembly Rules. However, shortly after that, on the 18th of October, the JSE on Defense published a report on the ATC with various recommendations. And this, Mr. Speaker, as it was published, it had a lot of recommendations on it. One included the recommendation around membership. The other issue was around the mandate of the committee itself. What is it that they need to do and how we see the mandate. And then lastly, there were issues of confidentiality that at times there are certain things that they deal with which are sensitive and they want to have some form of confidentiality. The Assembly adopted that report and referred it for the Joint Rules Committee to look at it. However, the NCOP has not considered this report, Speaker, yet. It's still with them. Our proposal is that this is sent to the Joint Subcommittee on Review of Joint Rules so that they can give us a proposal that we can look at, and therefore we can consider this in the following year if we agree to send it to the Joint Subcommittee on Rules for Processing.
Well, a concrete proposal. Are we happy to agree and adopt the proposal? Okay, we have agreed. Any other business? Does anybody want to add any other business?
I propose that we move to item 8.
All right, we've moved to item 8. Item 8 is closure. And I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of the co-chair and myself to thank you all, this being the final meeting this year, and to thank you for the attendance, for your contribution and active participation. It's been a momentous year, and it's also been a year that we've made quite a lot of progress in a number of areas. And I wish you all the best as you go home, travel safely, arrive safely, and all the best. Thank you, and goodbye.
May I be as presumptuous as to, on behalf of the members of this committee, also extend our sincere thanks to you and to Honourable Mr. Masangu, and in particular also to the administration of Parliament for assistance with the compilation, as well as the committee where we've really worked together quite well without the incidents, and we thank you for your leadership and also for the assistance that we continue to get from your administration.
Thank you.
Wish you a very happy Christmas, and may that wonderful message find its way into all of our hearts. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You've heard, Mr. Tasso, our thanks to you and the staff. Just convey our sincere appreciation for all the hard work that you put in.
The good wishes include the Deputy Speaker.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.